Psalms 119 and verse 121. Thank you for being here. Let's be in prayer for our junior church, primary church. I appreciate so much the people that minister to our young people. It's exciting every once in a while to be reminded that while we're in here, there's other services going on. Children are being ministered to, and what a blessing. We are a blessed church, folks. We're a blessed church. Psalms 119, verse 121. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word. Notice what the Bible says here, Psalms 119, verse 121. I have done judgment and justice. Leave me not to mine oppressors. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy and teach me thy statutes. I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. It is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would use the wonderful biblical truths that we're going to share, dear God, on this very first Sunday of a brand new year. I pray, Lord, that these foundational truths, dear God, that we'll see, that we'll learn, that we'll be reminded of, Lord, will provide a firm foundation, dear God, and Lord, a boldness and a confidence going into a new year. Lord, we want you to come back, Lord. May this be the year that Jesus comes back. And Lord, if you do come, may you find us faithful and you may you find us busy, Lord. And dear God, if you tarry your coming, dear Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd allow us to see wonderful things, good things, great things, dear God. Many souls saved in a brand new year. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I wasn't here last Sunday because we had a little bit of an unexpected situation happen over in one of our church plants. Pastor Gerald Clanny had been sick for quite a long time and just kept pushing through it, pushing through it. Come on, men, that's what we do, and pushing through it. Sometimes ignoring it, sometimes I'll be better tomorrow, I'll be better tomorrow. The problem is he wasn't getting better tomorrow. And he'd kind of pushed himself to the point of exhaustion, hadn't been sleeping. And you know, Sunday came and he was really sick. And but like a lot of us preachers have done in the past, you push through, you just go. And as he was preaching, he got through Sunday morning, went home, tried to rest a little bit, got there Sunday night, and got through his Sunday evening service. And then, sometimes your body, it doesn't matter what you say to it, it just is going to take over and it's going to tell you some things. And about the time, I don't want to over-dramatize it, but about the time he was done with his message, getting ready to dismiss the people, he actually collapsed on the platform. And so, you know, Papa Ross, Daddy Ross has got to get involved, you know. And it's good for sometimes for us men to exhort one another and help one another and encourage one another. So I get on the phone and say, listen, you know, Hannah, we gave her with a no return policy, okay? So I need you to take care of yourself so I don't end up having to raise all of them daughters and have our granddaughters and have a daughter back. And we kind of laughed and had a good time with it. But I said, listen, why don't you get on, see the doctor tomorrow and get your instructions, get your medicines, and hey, let's shut down. Let's get over this thing. You've been pushing through it. Let's rest up. Let's get past it. And so that's why I plugged in last week for him. And glad to do so. Hey, I've said this the other day, but as many men over the last 15, 16 months that have helped me out in this pulpit, including men sitting in this room right now, other pastors that have come in and helped this preacher as I've gone through my sicknesses, it was nice to be able to stand up and for somebody else. And that's what we do. We just help each other. Amen. And so I'm thinking, okay, I want to go over there and preach to them. And so I thought, well, you know, I want to be an encouragement to them. And Romans 8:28, one of the greatest encouragement verses in the Bible, you know, all things, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to their purpose. And I felt like, you know, maybe that's the message I need to bring. And kind of pull back the curtain a little bit as I'm going through the process. Sometimes a preacher goes through trying to discern what God wants you to preach. And so I had that seed thought, seed idea, felt like the Lord was leading me to that scripture. And then as I started working my way through it, and we know that all things, and I just stopped there. And you know, you can know a verse forever. Come on, you've done it. And you can quote it. You've preached out of it, taught out of it. And yet sometimes a part of it just you see almost like for the first time. And God wouldn't let me get past that little two words there, all things, all things. And I got to thinking about that little phrase, all things. And God sent me in a direction and sent me to this verse, but he changed my message up a little bit because I got curious. But I want to give you this because this isn't just something that I think a preacher ought to do to get a message. I think as you read the Bible this year, folks, you ought to ask the Lord just every once in a while, Lord, help me to see something I've never seen before. Let me look at something and get curious about it. Listen, folks, it's good to read the Bible, and I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes. But I will tell you this. I think it's a good thing when Christians kind of grow past just reading the Bible and really get into studying the Word of God. And, you know, there's all kinds of treasures in this book. There's amazing things that God wants to show you and God wants to teach you. And every once in a while, something like that will happen in your reading. Hey, don't ignore it. And so I got to thinking, okay, hey, folks, I'm going to tell you something. I'm just going to say this. We're blessed to have some of the tools, study tools that we have today. I mean, there was a day if I wanted to see where these two words together were found all through the Bible, I would have had to pick one of them. I would have had to get my concordance out. I'm not sure why they made a concordance where all the letters are microscopic, but you know, y'all that have used them before, and I'd have to use the word things, and I had to go down all through there and find one of them, the ones that had all before it. And then I, you know, one at a time, and I'd had to turn in the Bible and find that verse and write the reference down. And now, you know, we got a computer program, a Bible program. I'm not preaching against it. I thank God for it, you know. I just go in there and type all things, put it in parentheses so they know I'm looking for that together and hit a button. And when I hit that button, folks, boy, it set me off on a journey for about the next hour and a half. And there that you find this phrase all through the Word of God. Now think about this. I'm getting about halfway through this and it's like all things, all things, all things. And then all of a sudden I thought to myself, you know, what does all things mean? What do all things mean? Now, folks, this is deep. You're going to be glad you came today, all right? Because your pastor has a way of, you know, getting into the depths of it and studying out the words. And so what does all things mean? All things. That's as deep as we're going here, all right? You know, I call these all-inclusive truths. That's what the Lord gave me. As I started going down through some of these, I thought, isn't it good to be able to have some promises you can just rest on? Amen. To just have some things that God just says, hey, there's no exceptions when it comes to this. He's basically saying this, you can count on me when it comes to this. There are no loopholes when it comes to this. This is true all the time about all things. And so next thing you know, I'm picking out some of these verses. And by the way, I left as many as I picked out. If you want to have a fun study, you know what? I'm not going to give you everything the Bible says about this phrase, but I don't think the preaching of the Bible is supposed to necessarily provide everything. I think it's supposed to tweak the curiosity of the listeners. And if the only Bible you're getting is a, you know, 40 minutes on a Sunday morning and a Sunday school class and a sermon on Sunday night and a Bible study, then I will tell you, I'm glad you're getting that. I mean, that's good. That's good. But boy, it's great when we get into the Bible for ourselves. Now, watch this. Look right up here. Some of you are spending way too much time on the internet and you're chasing every silly story and conspiracy on there. What if you just took that time and started studying the Bible? Amen. What if you just, come on, some of you spend way too much time on Facebook. You know, come on, you Facebook stalkers. You know, you got to keep up on 50 different people and every nuance of their life so that you've got the inside information. Hey, here's a suggestion. There's some inside information right here that you might want to study out that would do you a lot more good than to know all the gossip of everything that's happening in everybody's life. And so maybe we just ought to take 2024 and start right here in Psalms 119. I'm going to give you, hey, by the way, I got 18 of these. that I picked out. Boy, we're going to be here for a while this morning. 18-point message. So we're going to try to do six this morning and maybe six this evening. And then if you come back on Wednesday night, we'll give you six more and we'll see how we go tonight. Let's start with this one. The Bible is right in all things. Hey, the Bible's right in all things. What a great place to start. Did you see 128 there? Therefore, I esteem. Now, this has to be a personal decision that you come to, a personal belief that you come to. It's fine that I believe that the Bible is right in all things, but I want to ask you a question. Do you believe it? David said, I had to come to a point where I decided. I made the decision. Now, by the way, it's true whether or not you want to believe it or not. It's not going to change it. But if you choose to believe this, it's going to change you. Because it says, therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning what?
All things
to be right. So you know what, folks? Oh, my goodness sakes, that can transform your life. You know, everybody's trying to find truth. Pilate even looked at Jesus and said, what is truth? Well, let me answer that question, Mr. Pilate. This is truth. And by the way, Jesus was standing in front of you, and he is the living word. And so, folks, listen, I just made up my mind many years ago. Okay, let the scorner scorn. Let the skeptics be skeptical. Come on, let the humanists be rated. Let the atheists say that it's man-written. I don't care what anybody's opinion is. This book tells me that every word of God, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And here we see that it is right. Come on, all thy precepts, all of them concerning all things to be right. So he decided that that's what he was going to esteem. That's what he was going to believe. And so, you know what? I just pray in 2024 that you'd settle that in your life. I talked about reading the Bible. Boy, let's just make this a year where we just get into the Bible. I mean this. I'm rooting for you. I'm not mad at you. Hey, you can look back at last year and say, preacher, to be honest with you, I probably had the worst year of my life as far as the time I ought to spend in the Bible. Okay, is there a reset button? Anybody got a time machine we can go back in so we can start next year? No. You know what we do? We live from today forward. You know, okay, confess that before God. Get it right before the Lord. And then you know what? Turn your face towards tomorrow and decide, you know what? I'm going to get in the Word of God. We have these, a stack of them back there on the information desk. We've got some in the track rack back there. Read the Bible in a year. And we provide these. They're back there all the time, year round. And if this would help you, you say, preacher, I've never read through the Bible in an entire year, and I'd really like to accomplish that this year. Man alive, well, I don't know of a better year. Why don't we make 2024 the year of the Bible? Amen. And I want to just say this again. Why are you encouraging us to read the Bible? By the way, you guys can do this. I'd love to see one of the fifth graders come to me at the end of the year and say, preacher, I grabbed one of these things. You know what I decided? I was going to read through the Bible. I guarantee, guys, most of the guys in your class and most of the guys in your school have never read the Bible all the way through. You could have a chance to do something that most of your teachers, I'm sorry, most adults in America today has never read the Bible all the way through. And I think it'd be great if an 11-year-old, come on now, or 12-year-old, come on, or 13-year-old, one of our teenagers said, preacher, I'm just going to accomplish it. I'm just going to mark that off. I'm going to check that box that I read through the Bible an entire year. Now, why do you encourage us to do that? And I want to say this. Everything you read, come on, all of the precepts are right in all things. Everything you read is right. Everything you read in this book is right. So the Bible is right in all things. Now, I mentioned this already, but let's go to Romans 8:28, and let's just take a look at that, because here's another all things verse. I'll have you turn to several verses today. Romans 8:28. If you don't have this underlined, boy, underline it. If you don't want to underline it, circle it. If you don't want to circle it, draw an arrow to it. I don't care, but you ought to highlight this in your Bible so every time you're flipping through the book of Romans, you see it again and you read it afresh and anew. Now, here we go, folks. Watch this, Romans 8:28. And we know. I like this guy. Hey, there's something that I'm going to be given that I can know. I don't have to wonder about. I don't have to guess whether or not it's truth. And we know that. What's the next two words? All things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now let's kind of break it down, okay? If we know. So you know what? This is a certainty. I don't have to guess, wonder about it. I don't have to, well, sometimes, no. I can know that this is true, okay? And we know that, I like this next, all things, all-inclusive truth. Okay, when we see the word all things, it means all things. So an all-inclusive truth, we can know that all things, watch this, does it say are good?
No.
It doesn't say that. Very important to know that some things, listen, I'm just going to predict something, you know, based on 62 years of life, I'm going to make this really amazing prediction about 2024. Not everything that happens in your life is going to be good. All right, there's going to be some bad come in. But you know what? This is the exciting part. Not all things are good, but all things can work together for good. Okay, think about this. I call it this. I call it faith in the eventual good. I can have faith in the eventual good. Maybe at the moment I'm having to deal with something that's bad. Maybe I'm having to deal with something that's hard. Maybe I'm going to have to deal with something that I'd rather not deal with. But you know what? I can kind of rest back into this promise that, all right, maybe this isn't a good thing, but God can make it a good thing. He can bring good out of a bad situation. He can, listen, isn't that great that God is powerful enough? See, preacher, sometimes I don't understand why God would allow this, allow this, allow this. He has purposes. And sometimes in order to accomplish those purposes, you know what, folks? If every day was sunshine, that sounds good. But you know what? If every day was sunshine, we'd be in a drought in a very short amount of time. And we need the storm clouds and we need the wind to blow and we need the rain and we need the downpours. And you know what? In our life, it was sunshine all the time. I think we'd face a spiritual drought. Come on now. A lot of times it's those so-called bad things that drive us to the Lord, cause us to get closer to the Lord, cause us to get on our knees and pray in a way we haven't prayed before. And listen, isn't it exciting that this promise, I want to clarify the promise because the verse isn't done there. Now we know that all things work together for good. Now wait a minute, there's a qualification here, two qualifications. By the way, easy to meet the qualifications. I want you to check yourself right now. Can I claim this promise? All right, I'm going to ask you two questions, all right? To them that love God, look right up here, do you love God? I didn't ask you if you're perfect. If it said all things work together for good to those of us that are perfect, then nobody could claim this promise.
Right.
Say, preacher, I don't love God always the way I ought to. Come on, stop a minute. Look in your heart of hearts of hearts. Do you love the Lord? And I really believe that most people in here would say, Lord, or a pastor, the honest truth is I do love God. I know I always don't always act like it, and I know that I fail him. But you know what? I do love God. Well, you know what? You got a promise then. You qualify for this. How about this? To them that are the called according to his purpose. So what does that mean? Does that mean this is a promise just for people called into the ministry or called to preach or called to the mission field? No, called to his purposes. Here's the second question. Number one, do you love God? Number two, do you realize that God has created you for his purposes? And are you wanting and willing, come on, to fulfill his purposes in your life? So this is neat because these kids can get this. These young people can get here. They can say, preacher, all right, I'm not perfect. I'm still growing and I do fail, but I do love the Lord. And I do realize God created me and he loves me and he has some purposes that he wants me to do. And I really want to fulfill those purposes. Boom. Okay, you qualify. Yeah, but preacher, I did this. You qualify.
Sure.
You qualify.
Yeah.
Okay? Do you love God? Preacher, again, if you looked in my heart of hearts, I do. Okay. Do you understand God created you to accomplish some purposes? Listen, if you're all about accomplishing your purposes and not his, you can't claim this.
Come on.
To them that love God. If you're more in love with the world than you are God, come on. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, so he couldn't claim that.
Right.
But you know what? If you love the Lord, I didn't say you were perfect. I didn't say you are where you ought to be in every area. But if you say, I love God, and I understand that God created me to accomplish some purposes for him, and I really want, in my heart of hearts, preacher, I want to do that, you can claim this promise right here.
Amen.
Isn't that exciting?
Yes.
That's good stuff right there. And you know what? Then we can go back and we can see that all things work together for good. So you know what? I don't know what I'm going to have to face in 2024. I'm glad I don't know. I don't know what you're going to have to face, but I know this. Whatever it is, God can work it together for good in your life. What are these? These are all inclusive truths that if we just establish here on the first Sunday in 2024, I think it's going to lay a great foundation for us to have a successful Christian life. Ready to look at another one? How about Ephesians chapter 5? Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, look if you will in verse number 20. Ephesians 5, verse number 20. Another all things. You can circle these two words, underline them, draw an arrow to them. Ephesians 5, verse number 20, watch this. Giving thanks always for what? All things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we just studied this out and we just said, okay, not everything that comes in my life is good. And so I can accept the fact, preacher, I can rest in the promise and accept it and believe that I'm going to have faith in the eventual good. I believe God's going to bring good out of this. Now, all of a sudden, we're challenged to go to a next level. How do I explain this? Okay, I'm going to blame Sister Bonnie for doing this to me, okay? So everybody look at her, all right? Everybody go like this to her, all right? Come on, you're not doing it. Go like this to her. Thanksgiving this year. Thanksgiving. You know, what a preacher's going to do on Thanksgiving? They're going to preach one message at least on being thankful, okay? So I'm preaching on being thankful and all this. And you're supposed to be thankful in all things. It's so easy to preach it. It's easy to preach it. Not always easy to do it. But so she comes back to me and she said, hey, I want to ask you a question. Now, understand, we're in the same club, okay? You know, I don't want anybody else to be in this club. Trust me. Do you want anybody else to be in this church, be in this club? And it's called the Cancer Club. Brother Bill, nobody, we don't want anybody else to be in this club, do we? Okay, so trust me, it's not a club you want to be in. But if you go through similar things in life, isn't it interesting that there is kind of this bond, you know, that you have? So she said, Pastor, I got to ask you a question. Have you got to the point where you've been able to thank the Lord for your cancer? And I just looked at her like this. Okay, I can accept. Here's my thought process. Mine goes, you know. All right, I can accept the fact, I can accept it. I can accept that it's part of God's will for my life. I've gotten to the point where I accept that it's part of the journey that God wants me to go through and that God's going to bring good out of it. Now she wants me. Are you kidding me? And I just went, get back to me on that. You say, preacher, I know, I'm being a little transparent, but come on. Have you ever had some things that's like, get back with me on that one, you know? So I'm like, okay, Lord, you know, wow. How do I take this next step? Now, come on, folks, this is real life stuff, okay? In your life, it's not cancer, but I promise you, it's something right now. It's something right now. And so it's like, so I go home and, you know, I spend the next couple weeks kind of wrestling around with this thing. And isn't it good when God helps you? Isn't it good? And come on, God needs to help all of us. Come on, we're just human, folks. Come on. Say, what's Blessed Hope Baptist Church all about? A bunch of imperfect people getting together just trying to help each other and asking God to help all of us. Amen. So I wrestled around with it for a couple weeks. And finally, I was able to get on my knees and say, God, I want to thank you for this and mean it. Now, I shared that story with you because I want you to understand something. You know, if you're not there yet, it's okay. Amen. It's okay. You know, some things you just have to kind of say, Lord, just, can't do it now, but Lord, help me. I would ask some of you in 2024, maybe some of the things that you haven't been able to thank the Lord for. I'm not asking you to do it today. Because, hey, you ever realize that you can't fool God? I could get all pious. I could come right here to the altar in front of everybody and I could pray out loud and thank the Lord for cancer. But you know what? If it's not here, it ain't real. But isn't it good when God gets you somewhere? Hey, listen, folks, let me just say this. When God says, What did he say there? Giving thanks always. Look at these all-inclusive truths. Like he's not going to leave us a loophole. Thanking God always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. That's an all things truth. So the Bible is right in all things. God can work all things together for good. Watch this. With God's help, we can give thanks for all things. Number four. Oh, I like this verse. You know I love this verse. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Come on. Thank you, Mama. I got to say thanks to my mom for this one. Philippians 4:13. Isn't this a good one? We'll hit it quick and keep going, but isn't this good? You talk about all-inclusive truths for a new year. All right, the Bible's right in all things. But preacher, I'm not sure I can do all the Bible says. God can work all things together for good. And we're to give thanks for all things, even the bad things. And Lord, preacher, I don't know if I can do that. Wait a minute, let's get to Philippians 4:13. Aren't you glad Jesus Christ is there to help us? We can do, here's the next truth, we can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, I want all the Christians in here to get, for 2024, a Christ confidence. I want you to walk into this year with a Christ confidence. Maybe the devil's beat you up a little bit. Maybe he's battered you down a little bit. Maybe he's got you thinking you can't live the Christian life. And preacher, I tried this in 2023 and it didn't work. And I tried that, it didn't work. And I failed and I failed and I failed. I'm ready to just throw in the towel. No, hold on a minute. You know what? We sometimes, in our own power and our own strength, try to do something and it doesn't work out. But I want you to have restored in your heart a Christ confidence. If it's the right thing to do, then you can do it. I want to say it again. If it's the right thing to do, you can do it. If the Bible tells you to do something, you can do it. Well, how do you do it? Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's how you do it. So I want you to walk into 2024. Come on, some of you that are battered down a little bit, stand up, square your shoulders up. Come on, look to Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Come on, get back in the race. You can do it. And preacher, you know what? I need to get back in the race. But preacher, I try to just get back in the race. A just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Okay, so you failed. Get back up. So you tried and it didn't work up. Try it again. Okay, preacher, I've done this Bible reading thing and I get to about Leviticus. I understand, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I understand it, okay? And I just quit it. I mean, I start reading so many begets, I got cross-eyed. I get it. But you know what? Why don't you just do it again? Why don't you just try again? Well, what if I fail? Then you get up and try again. What if I fail again? Then you get up and try again. Listen, failing does not make you a failure. Quitting makes you a failure. Failing does not make you a failure. Quitting makes you a failure. Matter of fact, the honest truth is, I know it's true in my life, you've probably learned more by failing than you have through succeeding. Because it's by failing where we learn how to succeed. Come on, folks. This isn't a motivational talk. This is King James Holy Bible. I mean, we're all going to fail. And you know, sometimes people fail and they throw in the towel. If you fail, take a step back. Take a deep breath. Look at it. Ask the Lord, how could I have done it better? What do I need to do different? What can I learn through failure? And then take what God teaches you and then hit it again. And you say, well, then I failed for a different reason. Okay, then learn from that reason. Listen, folks, there's very few of us that the very first time we tried something, we're super successful at it. This whole life, human life that we live, that God has granted us, is a process of growing and learning and falling and getting up and failing and trying again. That's what this is. And so, you know what? Why don't you grab a hold of this verse? Listen, you can do what you should do with Christ's help. You can change where you should change with Christ's help. You can overcome what you need to overcome with Christ's help. And you say, preacher, all right, that's true of almost all things. But there's a couple things that are, listen, impossible. Thanks for bringing that up. Mark chapter 10. Let's go to Mark chapter number 10. Oh, isn't God good? Doesn't he help us, you know? Preacher, I know what you're saying, and I think it's true 99% of the time, 98% of the time. But there's a couple of things that I'm facing that if I sit down and talk to you and showed you, it is impossible. It's an impossible situation. Look, if you will, in Mark chapter 10, look at verse number 23. Mark 10 and verse 23. And Jesus looked round about and saith unto the disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel. Think about this. A camel. Think about a camel. Pretty big animal. All right. A camel to go through the eye of a needle. Think about a needle. And then the eye of a needle. Think about that. Than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? Now watch this. Woo. Come on, let's underline it. Let's circle it. Look for those two words. Yeah. Jesus looking upon them saith, with men it is impossible. But I love this next phrase. But not with God. For with God, there's the two words. What's the next two words? Come on, church. All things are possible. Now, here's the thing. I'm not going to, come on. We're not painting a rosy picture. We're not saying that, okay, you know, I just got to get a I can do all things attitude. And listen, you're going to come upon things that are, when it comes to us, in human strength and human ability, it's impossible. And you know what? That's why we have God.
Amen.
Because that's where we need to go. Preacher, you know, I've tried to fix it. I've turned it every different way. I've tried this, tried that, tried this. Preacher, I'm sorry, but I just feel like it's an impossible situation. And I think when God hears the word impossible, he smiles. I think sometimes God wants us to have to face some impossible situations so that we can find out this about him. And he wants us to. You have limitations. Listen, church. God says, you have limitations. I don't. You have weaknesses. I don't. Okay, you're hemmed in sometimes. I'm never hemmed in. You lose strength. I am strength. Which brings us to our next point, our last point. Go to Matthew 21. Matthew 21. Watch this. Isn't this neat the way the Lord put all these together? Woo! This is why you study to show yourself approved unto God. For a handful of preachers that are listening that only do expository preaching, this is why you don't always do expository preaching. Amen. Matthew 21, verse number 18. Matthew 21, verse number 18. Watch this. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, can't we learn so much just by following Jesus? Listen, folks. Watch what he does. Listen to what he says. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. That's the human side of Jesus. Thank God he took upon him the form of flesh. He hungered. Verse 19, and when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, he's talking to the tree, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? By the way, in another place where we're given a little more detail, this happened as Jesus is entering the city. He spends time ministering in that city. In a very short amount of time, they walk out of the city. The disciples look over at the same tree and go, what in the world happened? And it was completely withered away. And what the Bible says here, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said to them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do that which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, wow, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Now listen, here we are. Look for the little word, the phrase, all things. Here we go, verse 22. And all things, all-inclusive truth, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, comma, believing, comma, ye shall receive. Now, folks, watch this. We learned that the Bible is right in all things. All right, we're going to review them. We're going to be done. Don't miss it. Here it is. Bible's right in all things. But you know what? It's not always easy to live, but it's right. Okay, we fall short of it, but it's right. Okay, the Bible is right in all things. God can work all things to good. And if that's true, then we're going to have to face some hard things, some bad things. But we're still to give thanks to God for all things. Because that changes our attitude. That changes our heart towards it, okay? Now watch this. Then we get back up on our feet and we get the Christ, come on, Christ confidence about us. And we say, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Lord, whatever you are asking me to face, I can do it. No matter how hard it is, I can do it. Not in my own strength, though. Come on. Come on. This is the difference between being in church and listening to a humanist down at the university that tells you, you have the power inside of you. Well, you do if Christ is inside of you. But if you're relying on you, you're in trouble. But if you have a Christ confidence about you, you can say, I can do all things. Oh, that sounds like you're bragging. Oh, I'm not done yet. I can do all things through Christ. So you, hey, Brother Joseph, you can be a preacher. And you can have a big influence. And I don't think God's done with you and Mary. And I think there's going to be maybe hundreds of Amish people find the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't seem probably possible. But you know what? You can do that. Amen. You can do it. I got Max. Where's Max at? He's primary church. All right. I told him, you know, he surrendered to preach. You know what I told him? I said, all right, last Sunday, every Sunday this month, last Sunday of the month, I'm going to have Brother Young take you out to Children's Church and I want you to preach the devil out of them kids out there. He said, what do I preach on? I said, smoking, drinking, chewing, dancing. Wicked little juniors out there, you know, they need to get straightened out for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm helping him out. But you know what, man, he came to me last night, the preacher. I got the text and what do you want me to do? You know, what are you doing? I'm pushing him out there, man. Can he do it? You better believe he can do it. Why? Because he's mighty Max? No, because he's got a mighty God. Amen. And by the way, you can do it. You can do whatever right now you know God's been urging you to do and pushing you to do. And you just, you know what? You haven't had the confidence to do it. And you're scared to do it. And I'm fearful to do it. Well, you know what? Good. Because that's the kind of things that turn us to the Lord. Hey, thank God that you have enough humility to understand that you need his help. But you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. All right, then we get into that. We get going with our Christ confidence, and then we run into impossible situations. And you know what? God allows that too. And here's the fifth thing. Although with men, some things are possible. With who? With who? With God, all things are possible. Which brings us to our last point. Because God can do the impossible, we should take all things to him in prayer. Amen. And so this is a formula. Hey, it's just the first six. We got 18 of these things. But this is a formula. This is what God has for us. God, I believe, brought me to these truths. He wanted me to give them to you, to entrust them to you. Folks, these are not Jerry Ross ideas. This isn't a motivational speech. I believe that God gives us the precepts and principles in the Word of God so that we can be successful and we can do what he has called us to do. We can. You can fulfill the purposes God's called you to do. You can overcome the impossible. You can do that thing the devil's beat you down and convinced you that you can't do. But you know where it's got to start, folks? Number one and number six. Get in this book and decide all things are right. Get on your knees. Come on. Bible reading and prayer. Simple. Isn't it amazing how many times we end up here? In the Word of God. On my knees saying, God, I can't do this, but you can. I can't overcome this, but you can. You've called me to do this, Lord, and I don't feel like, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these Bible principles. And Lord, the enjoyment, the challenge, the excitement. Lord, I just felt such a wonderful assurance as I read these. All-inclusive truths. Thank you for including them in the Word of God. May we allow them to be the foundation upon which we build a brand new year as we strive to serve you, as we sometimes struggle to serve you. Lord, may we revisit these principles. Thank you, God, that you've never asked anyone to go alone. Whatever you call us to do, whatever you ask us to do, you always go with us. You make available strength that we don't have, power that we don't have. And Lord, it's a wonderful thing to know that God's working through us. And so, Lord, as we look into the year ahead, I pray, Lord, that you'd do something sweet and marvelous and amazing in our hearts. Lord, help us to accomplish wonderful things, great things for the Lord Jesus. We pray this in his name.